welcome to the NC Students Podcast. NC Students is the middle school and high school ministry of Northland Cathedral in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information on NC Students and Northland Cathedral, please visit www.northlandcathedral.org. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy this week's message. For those who don't know, my name is Heather, and I am Pastor Jerome's wife, and I am the middle school chica. So, hi, I know it's like, hi, my name's Heather, and I am middle school free for, never mind. That's when you say, hi, Heather. And the lights came on, too. This is fun. What else can happen? Okay, so we're in the middle of, well, we're in week two of Tomorrowland. Great movie, even though Jerome fell asleep. So last week we talked about freedom from being afraid of doing the wrong thing and not knowing God's will for your life. So I have proof that our children do listen to us because they've apparently been listening to our conversations about what we're preaching about. And so Hawk in the car the other day says, hey, Mom, how come God doesn't just like show me now what I'm going to be when I'm a grown-up? And I was like, well, because would you like really work hard? And he said, well, like, what if I'm supposed to be like an awesome baseball player and I'm supposed to play professionally? And I don't know if Jerome was, were you in the car when he was asking this? Okay, so we're like, well, but would you actually, if God showed you a picture and said, this is going to be you, would you really work hard to get it? Or would you just spend the rest of your life saying, it's going to happen, God's got it? He was like, oh, I don't know. That's a good question. So then that sparked more conversation with the boys about what they're going to be when they grow up. And now Ben wants to be Obi-Wan Kenobi. Because if you know Star Wars movies, when Obi-Wan Kenobi is keeping watch over Luke from a distance, what name does he go by? Ben Kenobi. So he said, Mom, it must be that I am supposed to be Obi-Wan Kenobi. So he walks around with a lightsaber. He even puts on, so last Christmas, my grandma wanted to know what she could make the boys for Christmas. So I told her to get some brown fleece, and she looked at me like I was crazy and like it was the most boring thing that she had ever made them. She made them robes out of brown fleece. And then my mom had somebody embroider on the side, Padawan Hawk. Padawan Ben, Padawan Manny, they think they're super cool. So this morning he walks out and he's, I told them they can't come to breakfast in their robes because they have to be dressed for school on the weekdays. So he comes fully dressed for school with his robe on and he pulls the hood down and he pulls out his lightsaber and he goes, can I change my name? No, you cannot. I thought long and hard about your name. I like it. He's like, but Mom, nobody's going to know I'm Obi-Wan. And Manny from the other side of the room says, Obi-Wan dies. And walks out of the room. And I was like, what is wrong with you children? So that's when Ben decided maybe he doesn't want to be Obi-Wan. So there's, but he still practices, which drives our dog crazy, which is a different story for another day. But so now that we're talking about God's will for our lives, our children are now talking about God's will for their lives, and Ben's having a difficult time figuring that one out. So one day he will find freedom as well. But this week, last week we talked about the will of God is who more about who we are, not where we are. And we looked at Matthew chapter 6 and all this stuff. So we ended with this quote from Stephen Furtick. Is that how you say it? Furtick. When you walk in God's ways, you will always be in his will. We spend all of our time trying to get God to reveal the concealed parts of his will when God wants us to obey the revealed parts of his ways. And a lot of you walked away last week going, yes, I don't have to worry about figuring out my future anymore. But some of you walked away saying, did you catch that last part? Because I did, because I talked with somebody who said, I listened to that last part. Where it says, it's easier up there. We spend all of our time trying to get God to reveal the concealed parts of his will when God wants us to obey the revealed part of his ways. And they said, hey, concealed parts of his will? Hello, what's that? Ha ha, Jerome was wrong. I don't know his plan for my life. So this week, while we know the will of God for our lives, we talked about that last week. This week, we're talking about, does God have a plan for our life? And so we're going to figure out what to do with it. Next week, we're going to talk about making decisions. This week, we're just talking about God's plan for our lives. And how we're not on our own. It's not just up to us to figure everything out. God does have a plan, but we can make decisions without fearing what's going to happen next. We can have confidence that God is in control. There was a song that one of our choirs, I think it was the worship choir, that sang at our college, and they did this, like, every time I hear God is in control, I hear the choir going, God is in control, God is in control, God is in control. It was this layered that surprised you every time because the sopranos would say, God. So now it's in your head too. So when I say God is in control, you're going to hear, God. You're welcome. So God has a plan and it will unfold as you seek the kingdom from last week and next week as you make decisions. But today we're going to look at how God's plan unfolds in your life. And it's not, I know a lot of you have been to a Royals game. Has everybody here been to a Royals game? You guys know that the game that they play, they don't always do the mustard ketchup relish race. Now they've got the baseball under the hat, and they like show you a little peek of where it's at, and then they start moving them. And then they move them faster and faster, and then you have to figure it out. That's not what God's will is like. God's plan for your life is not like he's going to just go, now I'm going to take a look at it. All right, if you pick right, you win. Yay! And if you don't, oh, poor guy. That's not what God's plan for your life is like. So I really want, our goal through this whole series is to kind of like break that from you, that you have absolute freedom and God is absolutely in control. Those are two things we're going to look at tonight because God will use both of those things to flesh out his plan for your life. But we're going to look at this in the Bible. We're going to look through a couple of scripture verses that kind of talk about God's plan. Because how many of you believe that God has a plan for your life? Yeah, we've heard lots of Bible verses about it. We're not going to go to Jeremiah 29:11, but we're going to go to Ephesians. So if you turn in your Bibles, if you have them, or if you just click to the right spot on your phone, for those of you who don't have a paper Bible, or for those who just want to look at the screen. Paper, it's this new inventive thing made out of wood pulp. We can discuss that later. So Ephesians, it's this letter that Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. And before he really gets into the meat of the book, he starts telling them, he's explaining about how God has revealed himself through Christ. So if you look at verse 9, it says, God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. There's that plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. So there's the plan mentioned again. Because last week we talked about the will, but this kind of sounds like maybe it's a little bit different, a little bit more specific for our lives. So this made me wonder, the more I read this growing up, the more I started to question in my mind, wait, God's will for my life, he knows it all already, but I get to choose, but he already knows. So does anybody ever wonder how that works out? Like the whole, like, yes, you get total freedom to choose, and God has a plan already made for your life? Me and Gavin. All right, cool. Nicole, maybe kind of. Okay, so then we're going to look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is a super cool psalm. I really love this one. But if we just look at 16 instead of go through all of them, because I love all these verses. But in verse 16, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Man, so God already knows everything that's going to happen. And he's got this plan. But last week, Jerome said we had freedom to choose. This is what's called a paradox. Because God is sovereign and we have freedom. Do you guys know what a paradox is? Can somebody define it for me? Ooh. I know, this is one of those things, like, I know, but how do I say it in words? Okay, so it's one of those both and things. It's two things seemingly opposite and contradictory to each other, together true at the same time. Right. There you go. You're welcome. Chew on that one for a while over there. So God's plan fleshes out because of his will and your choice. So it's both of these things working together. And it's going to work together through something that I really like that the missionaries brought up. Because the missionaries said it was a calling Right? Did you hear them? They said, when we heard this, it was, he said it was a calling. And she said, well, I don't know if it was a calling. It was more like a compulsion. Like, we had to do this. So we're going to look at this next slide, because it's saying that we're going to define what calling is. Because a lot of times we associate this with preachers and teachers or holy people. But everyone around here, we all have callings on our lives. So we're going to look at this, because a calling is a specific vision of how God wants to use our time, energy, and abilities to serve him and the world. A calling, that's a lot of words to say that a calling, it's not a job. It's not a career. It's seeing the world through the eyes of the heart. It's what compels you. It's what you feel God wants to do through you in this world. So let's look at the difference between calling and career. Because I think a lot of times we get confused and we think that if we choose this career, what if I'm stepping away from God? What God really has for me? And while we found freedom last week in that, because we know what God's will is for our lives, sometimes we still get tripped up in making those choices because we misunderstand the difference between calling and career. So a calling, we just talked about, it's seeing the world through the eyes of the heart. What's a career? So a career is your job. It's how you pay the bills, right? Okay, sometimes your career and your calling will go together, and that's like a really cool sweet spot. That doesn't always happen. And I know tonight is not one of those like Holy Spirit moments. Tonight's very practical, and it's helping with definitions, and it's helping you guys understand something that I didn't quite understand until I was older. But okay, so like, let's think about Upti. He's a good example. Upti felt a calling into youth ministry and found ways to fulfill that. He would be a youth leader here. He taught Sunday school. He helped out wherever he could. His career was, and for those of you who don't know Upti, he was a youth leader here for a long time, felt the call to be a youth pastor for years and years and years. And before that ever happened, he served in the church, but he worked at UPS, and he runs his own landscaping company that a lot of people here have almost lost limbs through. So, but that's a really good example of somebody whose career and calling does not match up. Jerome's career and calling matches up. Mine hasn't always. Mine, sometimes I've worked as a social worker. I can tell, I could take you to the place this summer. If you come to camp, I can take you to the place where God called me into the ministry. It's right about here at camp. So if the stage is right here, if you go right about here, then that's going to be the place where I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God was saying, you're going to be in full-time ministry. And I was like, dude, that's really cool. That was when I was 12. God speaks to people when they're 12. But I haven't always had a job at a church. I've been a social worker with the state. Hated that job. I've been an adoptions caseworker, which was really cool. I've cleaned bathrooms at a sorority. Nastiest job I've ever had. I've worked at Sonic. Second nastiest job I've ever had. Anything really in the food service industry isn't very fun. I worked at TJ Fridays, and I dropped a plate of pasta in a lady's lap on Valentine's Day, which was also her birthday, and she was out with her sister to get out of the house where she had 5 sons. That was my awesome day. I was like, I quit. I'm awesome. And she was really cool about it, but not my best job, I'm just going to say. But so sometimes your career won't line up with your calling. So I really do say this to give you some hope in your life. But if calling and career aren't the same, sometimes you have to know that your calling will flesh out through your career sometimes, but sometimes it won't. And sometimes your calling can get lost in your career with choices that you make. Callings can be many. I believe that people have more than one calling on their life. They don't always line up. Sometimes they do with your career, but they can change. It's not like lifelong calling forever in this one place. It's not like this one lane. So I know, like, Jerome got this really cool spiritual awesome week last week, and I've got, like, super practical this week, which is kind of fun. I kind of like it. It's like the nuts and bolts of ministry. So what Pastor Harrop likes to tell people, and he's told us many times before, God gives you your calling, you choose the career. I hope that that can give you some sort of like freedom. I don't like making choices. My daughter is very much like me. There are times I look at her, I'm like, pick a sandwich. It's not going to change all of eternity. Which sandwich you get? And my husband has to say the same stuff to me. I don't like making choices because what if one of them isn't, you know, what if the other one's just as good as that one? So picking careers, not easy for me, which is probably why I've had a lot of them. But I digress. So if last week we talked about the will of God is not where you are, but who you are, this week we're going to take that even further. Who you are is not determined by what you do. Who you are helps determine what you do. Let me say that again. What you do does not determine who you are. Your career will not define you unless you let it. But who you are helps determine what you do. This is how God works and fleshes out the plan that he has for your life. But if this is all about who he made you to be, we need you to understand, and I need to keep understanding, God's plan is not a destination. It's a journey of discovering your many callings and being a blessing to God and to the world as you fulfill them. It's all about who you are. And so then, how do we discover our callings? Because some of you may be saying, I have no idea what she's talking about. I don't know who I am. I don't know what my calling is. Like, God didn't write it in the sky. Okay, well, there are some ways that can help you, some signs to help you figure out what to look for. Because your callings can change. Things can be different. Jerome's story last week where he was talking about how we transitioned from being missionaries to being pastors. So once we got to the mission field, we had been in ministry together since we got married. And really, like, God just cultivated this pastoral calling in Jerome's life. And it was awesome to watch. It was super cool. But we both felt drawn to missions. So we go to missions thinking that we're called to missions. And we get there, and he is missing the day-in, day-out ministry with people, the pastoral side of ministry. And by the time we finish up our first term and all the craziness that went through there, and this is, ask us sometime, we'll tell you crazy stories. But we ended up sitting in Pastor Harrop's office. And while we're sitting there, Jerome was just depressed. As he was talking, you know, he was telling you some of his story last week. And he's saying, you know, I don't even know what to do right now. And Pastor said, well, who are you? And Jerome couldn't define it. And I leaned forward, I said, this man's a pastor. And Pastor said, then pastor anywhere. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to pastor in Vienna. You can pastor down the street. You can pastor in Seattle. And it was like this weight went, hallelujah, this weight went off our chests. And we were like, wait, what? He said, God made you a pastor. Be a pastor. And you get to choose. God gave you that calling. You choose where to go. So if you're trying to figure these things out and trying to figure out how to walk in God's plan for your life, if he's using your calling and then you get to choose your career and all of this stuff, let's look at these six signs. So the first one is, what is your deepest motivation? What interests you? What energizes you? What captures your heart? I know that sounds all like super dreamy and creative, but seriously, what is your passion? What drives you? Those missionaries were saying, man, this captured our hearts. This pulled at us. We knew this was something that we had to do. So like Thomas Edison, super cool inventor. He didn't choose to be an inventor. He just was an inventor. It was just, he tinkered. He changed things. He came up with new things. That was who he was. That was what gave him joy. It wasn't that one day he said, I choose to invent. And then he went and invented something. He just was. That was his passion. What's your passion? What drives you? The second one is talent. Good intentions are not enough. If watching The Voice and American Idol has taught any of us anything, good intentions or big dreams aren't enough. You have to have talent to go with this. You have to have giftings, right? There are certain things you have to have skills for. I used to think I wanted to be a doctor when I was little. There's a problem. I don't have steady hands. I've got this fabulous thing that's called essential tremors. that when I try and hold stuff, my hand shakes. This is great. You should watch me eat soup when I'm really tired because it's like, I can't get it to my mouth. It's really frustrating. This is why I use a microphone on stage. It's on a stand because otherwise I'm like, hey guys, how you doing? I can't find the microphone. So even though I wanted to be a surgeon, who can't be a surgeon? Me, this girl right here. No matter how much I want to be and I have this passion to save people's lives, I can't do that. So sometimes we have to be able to be like, okay, maybe I should change what my passion, like focus. If that can't be something I do, maybe I can do something else in that field. Be practical with life, because sometimes it's not always this super spiritual thing. Sometimes we just have to do something, make a choice. So the next one is going to be our life experiences. Things that happen in your life that will push you in a different direction. Guess what? The second I said I do, I had a new calling on my life. To be a wife. The day before I got married, that was not one of my callings. I said I do, and I took on the calling of wife to love, honor, respect my husband, to walk in ministry with him side by side. Our callings now are aligned. The second I had a baby, my calling to become a mother, to raise my child in the way of Christ. That's a different calling than the day before I had a baby, you know? So sometimes in life, things change. There are people whose lives have been altered through circumstances completely out of their control. There's the abuse victim who now who has been able to get through everything and is finding herself on the other side and can look back and say, look at what God's brought me through, and now she can have a ministry to other people. That's a calling based on a life experience. And then you've got the voice of people. So if you have people in your life, for some people, this keeps popping out. For some people, you may not have deep friendships or you don't have mentors. I really encourage you to have a friendship with somebody who will speak into your life, who will help you figure out how to draw closer to Christ. We have been blessed to have some friends in our life who will call us on our craziness and who will be like, I don't know about that. And who will pray with us, who know our strengths and our weaknesses. These are the type of people who can help us figure things out and who can go through, you know, figuring out our callings. Joyful service. This is another one. What gives you deep satisfaction in your soul? There was this old thing, this old idea that people used to think that God would call you to do something and it was going to be something you really didn't want to do. There was even a song called, Please Don't Send Me to Africa, I Just Don't Have What It Takes. You should look it up sometime. Ridiculous song. But people would think, oh, I really don't want to do missions. That must be what God is going to call me to do. No. God is going to give you this deep soul satisfaction in the things that you do. When Jerome is preaching, he is like satisfied. If he goes a very long time without preaching, he gets grumpy. I mean, like, this is something that is in him. It is a calling, and it is the coolest thing to watch a person really do what they're called to do. So these are all different ways that you can, and they're all very practical, and I understand that, but we want to be able to give you guys these tools, this lovely toolbox of helping you figure out God's plan for your life. Because it's not this, you know, we're going to say, that's God's plan, and I'm going to have to walk this. It's not a destination. It's that whole journey. It's that corn maze that he was talking about last week. It's not a maze. It's just a path that you're on to get there. The band is going to come up, and we're going to do a couple of songs. And I have some things that you guys can do while you are listening. Not everybody is a music person. I get that. So during this worship time, I want to offer up some other possibilities for worship for you. We're going to have adults who are going to be standing around at the back. If this is something that, if you're at the place in your life where you're making decisions, where you're having to, you know, life's coming down and you're saying, okay, I have to make this choice, I have to make this choice, and I'm still really nervous about that. There are adults here. We've all made those decisions. We've all had to take those steps. If you want to find a friend and pray with a friend, awesome. If you have something that you need to pray with someone about that has nothing to do with this, we still have adults and you still have friends. Feel free to go pray with somebody. Feel free to stand and sing. Some of you, I can tell, God's been talking to you the past couple of weeks and you want to sort out your ideas. You have a phone for a reason. It's got that lovely little notes app open that up. Take a note. Try and figure out what God's saying to you. Or pull out your journal. Write it out and say, God, help me figure things out. I want to be able to be free like they're saying, but I don't know how to be free. Or some of you just want to sit and pray or sit and think. While you are sitting there, or if you don't even want to do anything, you're like, this isn't for me. I'm just here because my parents make me. That's cool. But please be respectful of what's going on around us, because there are some people who are trying to work through these things. So let's all stand, and we're going to just sing and enter in and thank God. God, I thank you for this time. God, I pray that you would speak to us in every situation that we're at tonight, Lord, and that you would minister, continuing to minister to us tonight.